this week, our panel that we have up here with us, you all know them well, but I'll introduce them anyway for everybody watching live or anybody that might not know them. Starting at the very end down there, yes, this is Ethan Bricker. Say hello, Ethan.
Hi. Hello.
Yeah, it's live. It's live stream.
Hello, live stream.
So Ethan has been an associate here at the River for several years with us, and 5 years. Yes, well, several. And his wife, Lydia, is our worship pastor here, and just a great part of our leadership here at the River Church.
She's dropping the kids off right now.
She's dropping the kids off. See, that's why we delay a little bit, so that everybody can get in here. So thanks, Ethan, for joining us tonight. And then next to Ethan is Gabrielle Smith. See, live stream.
This is live stream. Hi.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm a little hot. That's Lydia, I think, right there, so she's going to turn me down. Sorry, everybody. I'll just keep it way away. No, that's worse.
Help.
I'm on the BGV4.
I think it might be me, actually.
Is it Gabrielle? Turn yours off, Gabrielle. Yep, that's Gabrielle. Which one? What's hers, Ethan? It's okay, guys. We, you know. Two. Okay. All right. Gabrielle is our spiritual care pastor. For those of you who don't know what that is, she talked about it Sunday. If you were here Sunday, she heads up all the spiritual care, whether it's pastoral counseling or of any type, or you need any type of any other type of thing, deliverance or inner healing, those type of things. She leads us you to the point where you need to go with that. With the team of counselors that we have, pastoral counselors that we have, she leads all that, heads that up. And so we're excited about that. And that's kind of a new ministry here at the River. She's been heading that up for the last year. Okay. And then next to Gabrielle is Matt Wall. Matt, say hello.
Hello.
Oh, he turned his mic on. Yay.
They helped me. I wouldn't have done it if they wouldn't have gave me the keys.
Yes. So. And Matt is an associate pastor here at the River as well, and has been on staff here for many, many years. So we're thankful to have Matt here as well with us. And so that's our panel tonight. Thank you guys for joining us. Before we get into the questions tonight and kick that off, and we do have Scott Smith running around with the microphone.
If
he's way in the back there. But if you have something to say, a question about one of the questions we're discussing, then feel free to raise your hand, and he will come to you, okay, and get to you when it's time. Okay, so let's talk about this. Before we get into the first question, I was reading a survey from the Barna Group, and the survey had to deal with church attendance in the COVID era. So since COVID, actually they did a survey pre-COVID, which they do every year, and then they did one as COVID started, as the pandemic started, they started doing surveys every couple of weeks because they wanted to see what the effect that the pandemic had on the church. And it's really interesting that they did this because when they started to do the survey, early on in the survey, they were surveying pastors. And then they also did regular attending Christians that regularly attended a church. And they surveyed the pastors, and they said, at the beginning of the pandemic, they said, how do you think this is going to affect church attendance? And at the very beginning, within the first 4 weeks, the pastors that they surveyed, only 1% said that it would have a negative effect on the church. Only 1% of pastors. After week 12, 40% of pastors said it would have a negative effect and has had a negative effect on the church. After week 17 of the pandemic, over 50% of pastors said it has negatively affected the church and we don't think it will ever recover. That's huge. And when over 50% of pastors in this country are saying that it has negatively affected the church, and as far as church attendance, as far as people attending church, and I'll give you a few statistics in a moment about that, and that we don't think it will ever recover, that sounds like hopelessness to me. And it just really bothered me, you know, as a pastor to because I know the numbers that we face here. I know that we what we've seen, and we don't have We haven't done surveys and we haven't taken any polls, but we can tell by the number of people who have returned since the pandemic has taken place last March until now, we can tell you that we are pretty close to 1/3 of our congregation is still not returned. So when you look at the other survey they did about church attenders, they asked them, short time, I think it was 8 weeks into the pandemic, how many of you have attended a church service online? Because most of the churches shut down when the first initial hit wave came. And you know, we did the same thing. We were shut down for 12 weeks, and most churches did that, and we just did online services. So they ask, how many of you have attended a service online? And out of the church attenders that they surveyed, 40% of them said they haven't even watched online. And out of the rest that were left, 30% of them said that they had watched online, but it wasn't their own church, it was another church. Essentially, they were digitally hopping churches, church hopping online. And then they did another survey of them several more weeks or a couple months into the pandemic, and they have discovered that 1/3 of the church, 1/3 of the church attenders have not rejoined the church, and 1/3 of the church attenders they believe will never rejoin a church again. This is what they're saying according to the church, the surveys that they're doing. This is a big deal. That's a big deal. If you think about that, what does that mean for the church? And what does that mean for those people who are out there who, for whatever reason, are not coming back to church and don't foresee themselves coming back to church anytime soon? So this is why we're talking about this. This is why we felt this is important for a panel discussion, for us to do this, is to really discover what does the Bible say about this? What is the Word of God saying about this? So, you know, this is not the first time there's been a pandemic. How many of you know that? It's happened before in our world, you know, in history. And there have been a lot of things that have taken place. But they say, through every survey that I've seen, everything that's going on, they say this is the worst it's ever affected the church that they know since they've been taking count. So that's pretty big. So let's take a look at what we were, you know, the scripture we were talking about last week. And Kim, do you have that up?
I do.
Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Go ahead.
Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And then last week, we read the entire chapter of Romans chapter 12, and we encouraged you to go home and read that again several times and just kind of meditate on it and, you know, soak your heart in it and see what the Lord would show you, because as Bill said last week, that was our focus, was understanding the importance of connection and connecting to the body, being a part of the body, and why you need that and why the church needs that. This week, we're still kind of looking at things from the overall picture of that, but this week we want to kind of look at things from a little bit different perspective. So, I mean, how many of you ever heard the term, it's time to pay the piper? It's a phrase that comes from the idea of you can only borrow so long into the future until it's come due. You know, you can only put something off so long until it's not, until you can't put that off any longer. And I think for as long as the church, except for maybe the early church, the very early church, as long as the church has been assembling and meeting, there's always been the truth that's been taught that Jesus is coming back and that the church will suffer persecution and that, you know, we need to be prepared for that. We need to think about that. We need to get our hearts ready for that so that we can stand firm when opposition comes. But as the centuries have passed, we've gotten freer and freer. And we've been able to assemble freely, at least the Western church. That is not true for churches in the Middle East or in the Far East, but for the Western church, that's been predominantly true. As the centuries have passed, it's gotten freer and freer, and we've been able to assemble without any fear of oppression. And so the idea that it could happen has become way off in the future, and we don't think about that very much. And we think, well, we know that's what the Bible says, but that'll probably never happen in my lifetime, so I'm not going to think about that too much because I really don't need to. That's going to be in the future. Well, we want to talk about the fact that the future is now. We've come to that place that if we don't get ourselves ready, we are not going to be able to withstand what is coming. We are not saying it's coming tomorrow, but we are saying it is coming. And probably most of us here are going to experience that. So how do we get ready for that? What does it look like? We just kind of want to put that on the table and talk about that tonight.
Yeah, it's so we're going to pick up where we left off last week as far as the questions and just go a little bit deeper. Right now, it's being reported that in some provinces of Canada, like British Columbia, Alberta, Manitoba, and Ontario, the government is prohibiting churches from meeting. And in some instances, the buildings are being fenced or police are barricading buildings in riot gear. It's also been reported that a pastor in Edmonton was jailed for 5 weeks for violations regarding the pandemic. We've also seen some of this in the U.S., as we've seen some fines levied against churches and pastors in California, New York, Chicago, for holding services indoors or allowing congregants to sing out loud. And in Mississippi, a community in Mississippi, churchgoers were fined $500 each for attending a drive-in worship service earlier in the year during the pandemic. So we're seeing some of these things happen. So here's the first question for the panel. While we want to live according to Scripture and honor our governing officials, you know, according to Romans 13:1 and 1 Peter 2:13 and Titus 3:1, where do we draw the line in situations like this? So let's start with Ethan. No? Ethan says, I don't. Okay. Who wants to go?
I'll say something.
Go.
It might be good. It should be good. It's God's word, so it'll be good.
Hope.
It's God's word, so I'm going to start it with Scripture.
You know what? Bring it back. I got this. No.
Okay. You got it? Okay. All right. So I was thinking about this question in, I'm going back to Romans 12:2, where it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So I read that again to bring this point up, and Holy Spirit's just sort of been enlightening or highlighting this to me. This whole, man, for like about a month of thinking and meditating on this, just everything going on. About, I think the problem is people are having a hard time renewing their mind. And if you can't renew your mind, then there's an issue. And the reason they're having a hard time renewing their mind is because the placement of their heart. And there's a lot of people out there in the world and in the church, and their heart is displaced. It's not in the right spot. And therefore, they don't have their heart right, so they can't get their mind renewed, you know, and think on the things. And so we hear about these things. We hear about governments gating off churches and everything. And we don't say those because we want you to be in fear, and you shouldn't be in fear. If you hear that and you're in fear, then you got to check yourself that something might be in your heart, or your heart might be displaced from where it should really be, so your mind can be renewed. You know, and it says right in his word, we need to renew our mind, but really it's your placement of your heart. Where is your heart at? You know, and I know there's a lot of people, like I've struggled with this, you know, in the past where my heart just wasn't right in the right spot. And I'm like, couldn't figure out how to get rid of some stinking thinking I had going on in my head. I kept doing the same, and Paul talks about this, why do I do the things I don't want to do? You know, and later on, he states how he's content in everything he does. So there was a change there, and that change was a change in his heart, and his heart got in the right place. And because his heart got in the right place, then his mind could be renewed. You know, but if we don't have our heart, if our heart's displaced, then we're not going to be able to renew our mind. Holy Spirit, we're not available. We're not open to that. And I was thinking this, Holy Spirit gave me this. I was thinking about a heart being displaced. And I know a place keeper. And he keeps our place for us in line. His name is Jesus. And the line that he's keeping our place in isn't a line to get on a roller coaster that you're going to have these ups and downs and flip around and turn. That's your mind. Your mind's not going to be scrambled like that. He's holding our place in line. And the line I'm talking about is the lineage, the family of God, the royalty, the priesthood, our birthright. Our birthright is to be called sons and daughters. It's not to be dealing with the things of this world which are passing away. We were born into this sinful nature of the world, but we don't have to accept that, and we can be reborn. And that's that placement of the heart, getting your heart in that right place, so then Holy Spirit can renew your mind. And then you won't have any fear. When you hear anything like this, there's no fear. When you hear that question or you hear reports, it's like, okay, I know where I'm at with this. My heart is good. You know, thank you, Jesus, for getting my heart where it needs to be.
That's good. Thanks, Matt. So either you two have anything to say, like, again, I'm going to draw back to, where do we draw the line? I mean, you know, if the government pushes us to a place, because today is the pandemic, tomorrow what's it going to be, right? Because we can't just focus on the pandemic. This is not just about a pandemic. This is about control. And this is about, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but this is about the enemy's agenda, right?
Go ahead, Ethan.
So go ahead.
I think the line is pretty clear, which is anything that prevents you from preaching Jesus, declaring Jesus openly, that's the line. You know, I mean, there's gray area in the sense of different things, but I mean, for me, that's the line, where when the government or whatever steps in and says, you can't preach Jesus to an open crowd of this many people, it's like, well, what if God wants us to preach? You know what I mean? But I think there's such a level of need to be Holy Spirit led in this time, and so I don't necessarily have all the answers on what that line is, but I can say the line is, if the enemy or a person says, you can't preach the name of Jesus, or you will go to jail, or you will receive a fine, or you will receive this kind of punishment, then that is our joy to receive at that point. I mean, that's hard for me to say, the thought of going to jail and leaving my kids behind because I preached Jesus, but that's persecution, and that was a promise that Jesus had for us. And there's actually blessing that comes with that. Yeah. So for me, I think that's the line, is where when someone tries to put a muzzle on you, you know, as a believer, I think that's what it is. I think that's why pastors, I feel like it's the hardest. None of you, or even myself, have to carry this weight. You guys have to carry this weight, because you have to decide as the shepherd, you know, where do we draw the line, you know? And I think that's where, like, I'm super humbled to have Spirit-led pastors that I trusted, you know, when Bill said, no, we're going back to having services because this is what God wants right now. And I think that's where it's like, you just have to know that it's God. And I think you guys have done a great job at that. I know that's great, but I mean, for me, it's like...
No, I think that's good. I think that we... Let me just jump off of there for a moment, because... I can say it isn't difficult to make the decision, but it is in some ways. I think as pastors, it wasn't hard for us to say, this is what we're going to do. We're coming back together. We're going to have church together, you know, in person. But I think the difficulty is to see
what these other pastors in this survey that I told you about and from the Barna group, to see the same things they're seeing. We see that in our church, and we see people not coming back to church, and we see the fear that is in people to come back. You know, and we see the constant turnover of fear, because it's not just, the enemy is not gonna stop. Y'all know that, right? He's not gonna quit. He's gonna continue to push this fear agenda, because that's how he operates, by fear and intimidation. He always has, and he always will, and he'll continue to push it. And it does. We may say, okay, well, when this happens, you know, we'll feel safe to come back. No, he's going to have something else out there. This is going to be a never-ending thing. Yeah. It's like, I remember back and I don't want to get specific about the pandemic, but I'm just going to, because that's what we're talking about, where we're at. But I remember when everybody said, okay, when the vaccines come out, when the vaccines come out, we get vaccinated, we'll come back together. Vaccines have been out, people have been vaccinated, they're still not coming back. Because now the new fear thing is, well, you can get it again, even if you've been vaccinated. There's variants, and there's this, and there's that. And do you ever think that's going to end? There's always going to be something like that. And I think that for us, we're you know, I think this question was spurred on because, where do we draw the line? Where do we say, okay, enough's enough, we're going to come together, and as a church, we're going to rise up, as the body of Christ, rise up and say, we're not succumbing to this fear. We're going to meet together. I agree with what you're saying. If somebody were to say, you can't preach Jesus anymore, well, put me in jail, because I'm going to continue to preach the word of God. However, you know that that's not how the enemy operates. He doesn't jump from doing nothing to you can't preach Jesus. There is a gradual build of desensitizing us and getting us ready for that, right? And slowly getting us to fade away and not care as much about gathering together, and then they'll hit us with that.
So I know, hold on, Gabrielle, I know you want to say something. I think we have a question back here. Before we jump into that, though, I kind of want to kind of add to this. I think for me, the awakening came at the very beginning when, everywhere was shutting down. And churches were labeled as non-essential. And when that happened, I said, this is the turning point. This is the moment. And we had this discussion of, are we ready? And if we're not, we need to do what we've got to do. Are we ready for one of us to have to, or both of us, to have to do, to make that hard stance, to not compromise, to not let ourselves be influenced, because not that y'all are following us, but you're following us as we follow Jesus. And we're setting a precedence, we're making a statement, but more than anything else, Jesus is watching us. And I can't stand before him one day and say, well, but they said. And it's really not about the pandemic. The pandemic is just the vehicle to get us in position to where the enemy wants us to be and create circumstances. Now, God's going to come in and do all kinds of amazing things. And I believe that we can trust him and we can count on him and he will be faithful and true. I believe that he will watch over us and protect us. But Ethan just flat out said it a moment ago. He promised us persecution. Who do we think we are that half of the world gets it and we don't? That's just not how God works. If it was promised, look, if he promised us all healing, we all get healing. If he promised us all peace, we all get peace. And if he promised us all persecution, we all get persecution. The blessing comes with that. We see his faithfulness, we'll see his miraculousness, but I have never found, and I've never truly been persecuted, but the little bit of offense that I've had because I love Jesus wasn't comfortable. So we can't fool ourselves into thinking that it will be comfortable or be easy. I'll let you go in a second, Gabe. Let's take our question back here.
I hear a lot of people saying, that they don't feel like they're giving into fear, they're using wisdom. Can you talk about how to tell the difference?
You want that, Ethan?
One thing that's been going through my mind today, I don't even know if this is going to answer your question, Sue, but it's a great question. One thing that's been going through my mind with this whole scenario is there's Jesus who walks into leper colonies and prays for lepers, sees them healed, and in that time, that was the pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. Like, you, they literally said, like, you can read in Matthew, you can read in Luke where he does that, and the Pharisees say, why would you do that? You're supposed to keep your distance. Yeah. It literally says, like, you're social supposed distancing. To keep yes. social distancing from the lepers.
That's right.
And so, yeah, there's wisdom when you don't carry authority.
Oh, boy.
But there's wisdom when you carry authority of what you're supposed to do with it. So, like, you know, there's a level of, like, okay, you know, if you really don't believe he's not, that he can heal you, then yeah, you probably should stay home.
That's good.
But if you believe he's a healer, I think you're going to be able to punch this thing in the face. Mm-hmm. But it's going to come down to the authority that you carry. Bill Johnson says the person with the most hope yes. carries the most authority in the room.
Yes.
And yeah. I'll actually leave the verse that I was saying.
So I want Gabriel to jump in on this, but let me just say this just to go along with what Ethan's saying, because when you said that, I was bringing that up later. So I'm glad you did. It's okay. But that's Holy Spirit right there. Because, again, I'm going to tell you like we did last week. We didn't discuss anything. We didn't tell them, hey, here's what we're going to, you know, how we're going to go
we
about this. We just gave them the questions. And so the same thing, Sue, that the Lord has been saying to me quite a bit lately is, think about this. Jesus not only went to the lepers and laid hands on the lepers, but he also, when he was anointed with the alabaster box with the oil, when that was happening, that was in Bethany, which was Bethany. The name of Bethany actually means house of the sick. Why? Because that's where they sent all the lepers and all the sick people out of Jerusalem to Bethany. And Jesus went to Bethany. That's where he spent the night in the house. That's where he stayed in Bethany. He could have stayed in Bethany, which was on the top of the Mount of Olives, where all the Sadducees lived, all the big rich people lived, and all of that. But he stayed in the house of the poor, the house of the sick. He stayed where the lepers, where they made their bed, that's where he made his bed. And I think that is phenomenal. And that should be a word from Holy Spirit for all of us. If we're afraid of this pandemic and of this sickness, then we don't really know who our healer is.
Yeah. And fear opens the door. Fear is a that's a door in our life that the enemy operates through. So if we open that door, well then, who knows what can happen? But when we refuse fear and we keep that door closed, well then we stay under the covering of Jesus. Now listen, I believe that Jesus is my healer. It's coming, Gabe. Hang on.
She's right.
You put me up here with too many talkers.
This is like double dutch. You just got to jump in.
It is. Y'all should see it at our house. It's bananas.
Amen.
But listen, I believe that Jesus is my healer. I know that he's my healer. I have experienced healing. And I am not going to walk in fear. But I also got COVID. And I had bilateral pneumonia. And I had to go to the hospital. And it was a mess, and I ran a fever of 102 for 12 days with Tylenol on board. When you do what he
and I had to
you
take care of her.
He did.
And while he did I had COVID.
While he had COVID. But here's my point, is that Jesus was faithful. It doesn't mean that you're going to not experience stuff. It just means that when you experience stuff, Jesus will be everything he promised in the middle of the stuff. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to go because y'all just saying all my stuff.
Okay. I actually have something now.
No, Ethan, no. I wanted to jump in on this because I've learned some things about fear. And I think a lot of times when we think about fear, we think that it shows up as I'm scared. And fear wears many masks, and one of them is wisdom. It masks itself as wisdom. And so there are people walking around saying there's wisdom, but the Bible tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And if you're not coming because you're thinking that you might get something, you don't have a sound mind and you don't have power. And so wisdom, the definition of wisdom in the Bible, when you look this up, the definition is the realization that God is good despite the circumstance. And so I can walk into a place, listen, I've got two autoimmune diseases. I'm the highest risk there could be right now, honestly, if we're just going to talk about it. But I can walk in here and understand if I get COVID, God's good. He has a purpose for my life. If I die, God's good. I'm with him. If I'm at home for 2 weeks, God's good. If I'm in the hospital, God's good. That's wisdom. Wisdom is knowing that God is good. And so because he's good, he will take care of me. He will take care of my family. He's not going to leave my son alone and abandoned. He's not going to leave my family mourning. God is good. And so that's wisdom. And so if there's anything that tells me otherwise, it is fear. And I think that's the difference, is when we can look at that and go, okay, am I believing God is good? Or is there this part of me that is dealing with fear? And I think that's a big teller right there.
That's good, Ethan.
I think there's a level of wisdom of understanding where the person sitting across from you is at. Kim talked about fear opens a door. I have one set of grandparents that were way more fearful of COVID. And then I have another set of grandparents that weren't that scared at all. I don't think they're here right now. No, Grandpa's here. Grandpa punched COVID in the face.
Yes, yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. Stomped Grandpa, on it, spit on it.
Jim McKenney, he recovered faster from COVID than I did.
Yes, he did.
But if you don't know his story, you need to ask him his story.
It's powerful.
It's pretty impressive.
It's amazing. There was a level of, in the height of it all, where we're all like, man, I just don't even know what to think of this right now. Mm-hmm. There's a level of understanding where if somebody across from you is petrified of this thing and you're not, then it's okay to keep, like, you're not lowering your faith if you're keeping distance from them.
That's
or
good.
Even wearing a mask around them. You're doing it because you know that this thing carries authority in their world, but you have a different kind of authority. But guess what? If they don't want that authority in their world, it's not going to be the king's domain in the world. Does this make sense?
That's
so
good.
Like ultimately, like you can't force your belief on somebody. That's why Jesus would mainly heal the people who came running to him,
right.
And he wouldn't just force healing on people. That's why you see Son of David, Son of Man, Jesus, heal me. And he's like, yeah, absolutely, I'm pleased to heal you.
Right.
But there's a difference of people who are just petrified of this and the people who know that he's a healer. And so, like, I'm not weirded out if somebody's wearing a mask. I don't think less of them. No. And none of us do. It's what maybe the Lord's telling each one of us to do. The difference of wisdom is, you know, if you want that space, then I'm not going to get up on you and be like, hey, buddy, how you doing today? You know, because that's where you're at, and this is where I'm at,
that's
you know?
Good.
And ultimately, I just think, like, if we understand that fear versus faith and what kind of a dynamic that plays, there's a lot going on, you know?
That's good. I'm going to say one more thing. You got something? Okay. So let me say one more thing, and then we'll get to that. But Sue, this is a great question. This spurred on a lot here. But let me say one more thing about that. Again, from a pastor's point of view, we have, because remember, we're not talking just about the pandemic. We're talking about the church and coming together. Remember the opening scripture, do not forsake assembling together. Okay? It doesn't say except for this, or except when this happens, or, oh yeah, but there's no footnotes there of, oh, okay, well, if this happens, then you can forsake. Do not forsake, okay? So here's the thing about that question about when people say it's wisdom. I've had people tell me, I'm not coming to church because I can't catch this, and because if I do this, and this is going to happen, and all of these things, and I'm thinking, okay, but in myself, I'm thinking, okay, does that mean you're not going anywhere else?
You know, I've had people tell me I'm not coming to church because, but they're out at the grocery store, they're in Walmart, you know, they're at Dunham's Sporting Goods, they're doing all these things. And I'm saying that just because I saw people there, all right, that wouldn't come back to church. So calling you out. I didn't say any names, though. But here's the thing. They stay out of church for a year, but they still got COVID. They still caught it somewhere, right? It wasn't at church. It was somewhere else. So what good did that year missing church do for you? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's not wisdom. That's deception from the enemy trying to keep us away from what we need, and we need each other. We need the body of Christ.
I like how we're talking about this because I've been feeling like how everybody has been hopeless. I've been feeling that a lot. I think a lot of people are so strung up in the life that we're living on this earth to a point to where, I mean, you see people that are older trying to get, you know, young people's blood infused in their body so they can live an extra 2 years on this earth. And I think that all comes down to hopelessness. And I think that's shown up a lot here now. And I think it ties in with your question as well between, like, wisdom and fear. And it brings me back to, we watch these videos of people in China going to church. I mean, what kind of fear do you think they go through? I mean, every single time they make a decision to go to church, they risk dying. I mean, like, that just makes me so emotional. I mean, what do you think that coronavirus has done to their faith during this time? I believe those same people that are risking their lives in China right now going to church are doing the same exact thing right now. I mean, and we are just afraid. A lot of people to just go to church. When you have people that are risking their lives every single day to meet in a house with other people that share the same faith. And I mean, this is just the beginning. This is just this right now. I mean, think about what would happen if we were going through the same time where we were risking our lives every single time that we went to church.
I think that's a great point because I would rather certainly catch COVID than a machine gun bullet. Or a machete, or go to prison. So there's no doubt about that. But if the threat of catching COVID can keep me home, then the threat of jail is going to keep me home. And I am not, this is not to place judgment on anyone who has chosen to stay home. This is not being critical. It's just sounding an alarm, and it's putting a wake-up call. Okay, because wisdom would say, oh, you could probably go to jail or be killed today. So wisdom says stay home and don't go to church. I mean, right? Doesn't that sound like something that's very wise? Don't put yourself in harm's way, stay home. And if we use that logic for the pandemic, which again, this is not about the pandemic, it's just the vehicle that's ushering us to another place, then we will easily say that about other things that are coming down the pike and will happen. And so we want to bring up the conversation not to make anybody feel bad about any choices that they've made heretofore, but to say if we don't wake up, we won't realize what's happening to us in the next phase as it begins.
Yeah, and I know you have someone else with another comment or question, but just real quick, because Kim and I have been, you know, in different places with this over the past year. Like, we felt different ways about this. We didn't know initially how to feel and what to do. Like, we were like everybody else. We were like all the other churches that...
We want to be a part of the solution.
In our country, we all shut down. You know, because we did. We wanted to protect people, and, you know, we're in the people business, right? We care about people. Yeah. And so we wanted that. But as everything started to go on and continue on and draw out, we started to see a deeper agenda to this. And I'm not talking government or anything like that. I'm not getting political. I'm talking the enemy, Satan, okay? Our great enemy, who prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if you cannot see what's happening under the surface, under, you know, the natural, and see into the supernatural and see what the enemy's trying to do to the church, then I pray that God opens your eyes to see that. And that's what we're really talking about today. Go ahead, Scott.
Two things. One's from last week. God put on my heart, it was about depression, that the pandemic is given a great multitude of people to look into the window of people that deal with this. This is your life about depression, that the isolation and the aloneness and feeling empty, this was their life before the pandemic, and now others can see what they go through. And the second part is about what we're talking about tonight. It's a great vehicle for Satan to use that to get you ready for the mark. Are you going to, oh, this is going to be able to buy and sell. Are you going to take that? Or are you going to stand the faith? And the more and more people that don't go to church and hear the word of God and hear about Revelation and hear about those things, they're not going to be able to be prepared for what happens coming, because it seems already with the vaccines and the passports, they're already starting to get you. Oh, if you get this, then you're a good person. You can come over here. If you're not, restaurants are doing it now and everything, which people are doing it freely. So I believe God's given us wisdom to keep going. So thank you.
Amen. That's good. That's a great comment. That's a great segue into our next question. And so in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, Jesus admonishes the church of Philadelphia. He says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. So let me just say that again. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Take away your crown. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the New Jerusalem that is coming down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. So the question in light of this scripture is, how does this scripture tie into what Jesus is saying here, and also to the seven churches? How does it tie into Hebrews 10:25 when it says, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near? You know, in that scripture, our opening scripture is, do not forsake assembling together, especially that now that the day of my return is drawing near. And then in Revelation 3, he's saying, hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown.
Can I answer first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
She's jumping in first.
I'm going first this time. I think, and this kind of ties into what my answer would have been the first time, because the first time I was going to say the line's already been drawn for me. And I think that's just because how this ties, and it goes with how it ties in, and I'm sorry if I sound scrambled, but I feel like we're the body, and I said this Sunday, I need you and you need me. And so if I'm the hand, I can only be cut off from the rest of the body for so long before I become useless. And so if this is separating and Jesus is about to come back, if there's going to be tribulations, if I'm separated and I become useless, if I become dead, it's not the fact that this is where I experience God. This is not where my relationship happens. This is not, I can do all of that at home, but there comes points where you need someone because you're weak, because you are going through something and you need someone else who's been there and already come out of it, because you need someone to encourage you and tell you to not give up, to keep going, to fight the fight, to say that I'm there with you, that you're not alone. And so if we're alone, and then this is coming, it's hard to be. Does that make sense? Am I making sense right now?
Yeah, I mean, because even just like Vanessa said, sometimes you just need someone to say, me too.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm not crazy. Other people are experiencing the same thing or struggling with the same thing, and you can relate to me.
Absolutely. And so if I'm going to be in this new kingdom, if I'm going to take the name of Jesus and not the mark like we were just talking about, or if I don't want to go through that tribulation, I mean, we're all going to go through it, right? Jesus said, rejoice and be glad they persecuted the prophets before you in the same way. And so we're all going to be persecuted, but it's easy to know that, not easier, but it's nice to know that there's someone here who knows what I'm going through. who's not giving up either, and who's doing that with me, who's holding the banner high with me. And so I think that ties in. Does that make sense how that?
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Anybody else want to say anything about that?
Yep. So when I read this verse, hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. I guess the question is, what is your crown? And your crown is, I mean, this is my interpretation and my understanding is, you know, Jesus said, I'll know you by your fruit. He said, I'll separate the sheep from the goats. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. Your crown is your obedience. You know, it's your steadfastness to the Lord and your faithfulness to the Lord. When someone can take that away, what it means is that you've given it up. And so how it relates to church and us gathering together, I would say that it's the purity of being around other people who might have fruit that you need.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, when I think about when I think about Gabe and Scott, I think about people who carry a ton of patience. Like, they're super patient. So I'm like, man, Lord, help me get some of that patience. Yeah. You know what I mean? Let me snack on that fruit. How do you guys stay so patient? Like, I mean, goodness gracious, Gabe, like, with what you're going through, how are you waiting so well on the Lord?
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the gathering. It is church, this building, but it's also at our tables.
That's
you
good.
Know, like,
yes.
what are you doing to follow the Lord? What does your alone time with the Lord look like? How do I get closer to the Lord? It's building an armory in a wall to prevent the enemy from coming in and stealing, killing, and destroying. You know, it just comes from that steadfastness of you using what the Lord's given you and making sure that no one takes that.
That's really good. So while you were talking, I real quick looked up the word crown in the Greek in that
of
verse.
Of course you did.
Well, hey. And the word is Stephanos, and which is where Stephan comes from. But Stephanos means that which surrounds.
Come on, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes.
That which surrounds.
Yeah.
And then it specifically refers to honor and glory. So are you going to lay down? Now, whose honor and glory are you carrying?
Yeah. It's good.
I mean, think about that for a minute. It's not your glory. It's not your honor. I'm not going to remember.
One of the Psalms
says that, you know, that who is man that you are mindful of him, that, you know, you made the sun and the moon and the stars, and yet you are mindful of us. And then it goes on to say, you know, you made us a little lower than God and crowned us with glory and honor. So glory and majesty specifically. So we're crowned with God's, we're surrounded by God's glory and honor. And then that's in Psalm. And then he's asking us here, are you just going to lay that down? Or are you going to hang on to that until the very end, no matter what you have to do? Like, I'm not letting this go. I'm going to grab hold of this, and it is going to be firmly in my grip. And you'll have to pry it out of my dead, cold hands before I let this thing go.
That's good. Wow.
Okay, sorry.
Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, yeah, what are you holding on to? It has to be worth a lot. You know what I mean? It's like I'm hanging on to him, and I'm not letting go no matter what you just said.
Yeah.
Because I know that's where life, eternal life, comes from. I know that my home is not here. We're just travelers and foreigners here on this earth, and we're traveling through. We got to remember that. We got to keep that in our head. We got to be more heavenly thinking than earthly thinking. And I think we're thinking about all the physical things. We all do. We all have, you know. And if you say you haven't, then you're not telling the truth, because we all have. We've all dealt with that and struggled with that at times, where it's all physical. It's all this. Well, I'm going to use that word I used earlier, babe. I cleared it through her. But, okay, this meat bucket, You can use that later. Use it later. It's just...
I assure you...
if you want to. You don't have to. But I don't mean that in a...
We like, don't want to steal that word.
Listen, I don't...
I think
I'm
that's
not,
trademarked right. to Matt Wall.
Is it trademarked to my... Okay. So I'm just saying, you know, we're wonderfully and fearfully made, and we're made in his image, and I agree with all that. I do. But we're born into this sinful nature of this world, and this all fades away. This suit I'm wearing will be gone. This mic, everything we're on, this planet will be burned up. It'll be gone, you guys. And the only thing that's eternal and that will last is what we're hanging on to. So what are we hanging on to? And that's my point, is just what she said.
Tammy Man. Said earlier in the office, she said, you just need to tell them it all burns up in the end. It all burns up.
Well, true? What is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says we're just jars of clay. And that it's not the outside of the body that matters. It's what's inside. It's the light. You know, so yeah. That's what, it, when you said that, that's
yeah,
what makes
I think better
so.
Than meat bucket is a dirt bag. You're just a dirt bag. So,
or jars of clay. That works
jars
too.
Of clay is way more prophetic.
It's you can put your own label on it.
It's poetic in nature.
Yes, that's right.
Revelations 12:10 says this. It says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And we all know this. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death.
Wow.
We've gotten super good at the conquering him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And a lot of times when people even preach this verse, it's a comma. And they treat it like a period.
Yes.
Where we conquer him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we stop there. And we don't realize the power of, I don't love my life even unto death.
Come on.
And yes. That's the crown. It's the, like, my life has been given away. I gave it to the Lord when I said, Lord, I'm following you. This is a gift back to you because you gave your life for me. So now I'm giving it back to you. And that's how you receive the crown. You know what I mean? It's a truly yielded life that is that has crowned him, and then he ultimately gives that crown back, you know?
Yeah. You know, and it's these kind of conversations that we need to be having on a regular basis. You know, you don't go from the comfort of Western civilization to the threat of fill in the blank, because who knows what it's going to be, and make that leap successfully without... having the idea, the thought, prayerfully talking about it with the Father, letting him just prepare your heart, whatever that's going to look like. It may be different for all of us. And building your faith, strengthening yourself in the Lord, letting knowing him be your courage. I mean, if you really know him, then there is no risk in faith because I know him. And that means I can trust him.
Can I say something real quick,
Yeah,
Matt?
Go ahead.
Okay. I had to jump over Matt. So Bobby Connor says this. He says, it goes right along with what you said. He says, the safest place you can be in the entire world is in the will of the Lord.
Come on. Yeah.
And so you could be in Pakistan where people are getting beheaded. And if that's where God wants you to be, that's safer than here at home trying to quarantine. You know what I mean? It's safer than anywhere in the world. If you're in the will of the Lord, that's why, like, anytime I've gone on, like, a missions trip and I'm, like, in an airplane and I'm like, oh, man, this airplane's going to, we're crashing something or whatever. I just remind myself, I'm like, oh, man, am I in the will of the Lord? Okay, yes, I am. Well, then there's nothing that can stop me from getting to where I need to go.
I got to say this, and we're out of time. So I had several more questions. Can you believe that? Kim's going to make me stop, so I don't want to. But let me just say a couple things, and then we'll take a few questions, comments that you might have before we close it out tonight. And we're going to pray with everybody tonight. And I want to pray with everybody that's here, but we also want to pray with all of our brothers and sisters who are watching, who aren't able to be here. And we're just going to really pray about what we've talked about tonight. But do you guys realize that in the past year, since last March, when this all started and we shut down, and everybody did. You guys realize during that time and since we've come back together, especially since December 13th, we've had over 50 salvations here
since we've come back together. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So, I mean, if nothing else that we talked about tonight, just take that one thing. Imagine if we hadn't come back together, would those people have received the Lord? Would they have had a place to come and feel the presence of God and the power of Holy Spirit move upon them? Some of them, I remember at one service, some of them came running to the altar before anybody made an altar call and gave their hearts to the Lord. Also during that time, how many of you here, since, you know, last year, and especially since we come back together in this building, you've received something from the Lord, a word from the Lord, a touch, a healing, something from the Lord in this place? There's something powerful about that, right? We overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the what? Word of our testimony. And our testimony is not just that Jesus saved us. Our testimony is our walk with him and everything that he does in our lives as we come together and as we're at our own homes. Because Ethan said, it's not just about what you do here. This is important and this is what we're talking about. But it's about that crown is everything we do in our lives to honor God and to carry his glory and to please him. And that's what we're really talking about. You know, the enemy wants to, you know this, he wants to shut all that down. He wants to shut the church down. That's his mission, that's his goal, is to shut the church down. Because we are the church. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. Not this building. It's not about this building. We could do this out in the field out there. But it's about us coming together. It's about the gathering of the people. This pandemic wasn't about buildings. You know that, right? This pandemic was about separating people. And so I remember when this first started, it wasn't 6 feet, it was 10 feet or something like that. Do you guys remember that? You know? I mean, if the enemy had his way, it'd be 100 feet. We couldn't even live in the same homes together. So I just want to say that, you know, we've got a lot more to talk about this. We've got some things because I'm just going to give you the question we will start off with next week to let you think about this and pray about it throughout the week this week. It's Ephesians 5, 1 through 20 is a chapter that we're going to read, okay? And I want you to go home and read that. But here's going to be the question at the end of reading that 20 verses. Do you believe that the world and even the church is being desensitized and set up by the enemy for future control and submission? So I want you to... Yeah, I know you don't have to think about it. You know that. But read Ephesians 1 through 20 with that question in mind, okay? And think about what Holy Spirit is speaking to you as part of the church, as the body of Christ, okay? Yes, and then, yes, and then if we have any questions or comments, go ahead and take those.
Okay, so if you've got a question, go ahead and raise your hand so Scott can get to where you're going. But I know that we've talked about hopelessness, and I think this is Psalm 65:11 that says, you have crowned the year with goodness, and the paths that run through it drip with fatness. And when I think about that scripture, I think about in Kings, when the king of Aram had sent an army to kill Elisha, and they surrounded the city of Dothan in the middle of the night. And so Elisha and his servants woke up to see that they were surrounded by the enemy on every side. And so his servant panicked and said, what are we going to do? And Elisha's immediate response was, those who are with us are greater than those who are against us. And obviously the servant didn't see it, because Elisha stopped and said, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his servant's eyes, and he saw that they were surrounded by chariots of fire being pulled by an army. And so here's what I'm saying to you. It may look like that we are surrounded with a pandemic, political unrest, or political division and societal unrest, but ask the Lord to open your eyes so that you can see what really surrounds you. Because what surrounds you is greater than what you actually see with your physical eyes. That's hope. That's hope. Go ahead, Bruce.
I just want to go back to when we were talking about holding on to what you have so that you don't lose your crown. And that kind of resonates with me in our current situation, not even just pandemic, but just where we are globally and as a people with our technology. I think that the pandemic has helped to influence a lot of what's gone on with social media, because people have been home so much, they've been able to be exposed to so many other ideas and so many other thought processes, and everybody has an opinion on everything. And you see a lot more people that are a lot more open and about their stance against Christianity and against speaking about Jesus. I mean, there's people at universities now, in liberal arts universities, that if you try to come on and preach, that they shut you down. There's videos of that out there. But it just makes me think of, and I'm going to butcher the verse, but I think you'll pick up where I'm going, but it says that people will give up sound doctrine and go to where their what tingles their ears.
Yes.
And I think that that's also what we're seeing, especially with Gen Z, is people promoting self-love. And Kim, I know that you've talked about this before, is when people are telling all these young kids that you have to find your truth, when instead, you know, we're trying to tell them to find the truth. And so in promoting self-love and trying to chip away at not having, being sound in your faith and getting opened up to all these ideas and being constantly berated on social media and Facebook about your beliefs by a bunch of keyboard warriors who are probably the nicest people when you're sitting face to face. But I think that what they're talking about there is those things are going to be what's coming at us in today's day and age. And I think that social media and this movement of self-love and not loving others, I mean, because you're supposed to love yourself and love your neighbor, but I think it's more inward focus now to be more selfish and focus on you and your truth.
Yeah.
That's what's causing a lot of the falling away that we see today in the church. And you have these, a lot of people that are just surface level Christians, and I hate to say that, but at the slightest thing, they're washed away back out into the sea and back into the turmoil, and they lose sight of what they had.
That's good, Bruce. And also, did you read my notes before we, you know, got in here today? Because that's actually part two of next week, that you were just all dancing all over it. So it's good
preview.
That's good stuff. Holy Spirit's moving right now and working. That's good. But yeah, we're going to actually talk about all of that, and about how being shut down and isolated has created these things, some of these things you're talking about. Preview. Thank you,
preview,
Bruce,
preview.
For the preview for next week.
We
got another one. All right, go ahead. Run, Scott, run.
The last couple of weeks, we've been hearing a lot about how we need each other. We've been hearing that from Pastor Kim several times, every time we meet. And a scripture that came to my mind was Luke 31 through 34, when Jesus tells Peter that he's going to deny him three times, and that Satan is asked to sift him as wheat. But Jesus said, I'm going to pray for you that your faith will not fail. And then when you return to me, strengthen your brothers. So I just feel like we need a Peter, and we need to be a Peter, and we need to pray that to strengthen each other and to take our eyes off of what we did instead of what we're not doing. That's just praying.
Yeah, Justin, I'm so glad you said that. You know, I was going to say this, and you kind of reminded me of it. Last week, I had like a 30-minute conversation with someone here after service went last Wednesday night that was such a Spirit-led conversation, and God just was moving in that and bringing some healing and some hope and just some things that were so needed at that moment. And that conversation happened because we had come together, right? And it wouldn't have happened probably like it did had we not come together. There are things that happen when we come together as one body that just are supernatural, that Holy Spirit just orchestrates. Just like tonight, some of the conversations we've had, you know, the Holy Spirit's already been working in your heart about these things. So it's beautiful. We need each other. I need what you have, and you need what I have, you know. And the Bible says it this way, it's iron sharpening iron, right? We're clanking against each other, sometimes pretty badly, but it sounds beautiful in the eyes and ears of the Lord.